Happy Christmas to you. Happy Advent to you. Can you believe that it's already Christmas season? All that beautiful snow on the ground. Actually, it's been holding off, which has been wonderful. It's great to be home. I'm Jeff. If you're new to Emmanuel, you're visiting, I'm the lead pastor here. Emmanuel, I've been gone for the last couple weeks off in Thailand with a missions team who I think most of them have made it here today. There is a bit of jet lag going on. I woke up at 4 this morning, which is better than yesterday where I woke up at 1 in the morning wide awake. And so it takes a little while to get adjusted. So I made sure that I have my notes right in front of me. If I start getting a little woozy, it's just because I'm falling asleep, and that's okay. I'll just join the rest of you that sometimes fall asleep during sermons, and it will all be okay. Just kidding. Just teasing you. I just lit the candle this morning. This candle is the candle of hope. We light an Advent candle each of the weeks of Advent leading up to Christmas. We light a different candle to remind us of the great themes of Christmas. And our great theme of Christmas on this Sunday is the theme of hope. We've been singing about the great hope, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We've been praying through our needs and the issues of the day because we believe in a God that hears. We have hope that God is who he says he will be. And today I want to speak a little bit on hope. If you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to turn to a common passage that is read during the Advent season. It's Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 verses, starting at verse 2. Which is interesting because in the Hebrew Bible, this would actually be verse 1 of chapter 9, and verse 1 of chapter 9 in your English Bible would actually be the end of chapter 8. Just a little bit of a different way that the Bibles are put together, but we're going to be starting by reading verse 2 of chapter 9 of Isaiah. Do you have it? Let me read. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You've enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. What a great text at Christmas time to remind us of a great king that is coming. A great king that brings light in the darkness. A great king who is a wonderful counselor, Almighty God, who brings peace and justice to our world. The song we just sang, that Christmas carol, Do You See What I See, is a song that we're going to reflect on over the next few weeks because there's so many interesting characters going on. We've got the night wind, and we've got little lambs, we got shepherd's boys, and we've got kings, and then we've got people everywhere. And so we're going to walk through over the next few Sundays just talking through all these different senses that appear to us in this song that help us to remember the little details that sometimes we forget at Christmas time. We want to focus in on those little details that as you're walking through life, through the busyness of the season, you just might forget about, that we might all just forget about, that we want to bring back to your attention. And so we're going to be exploring that song a little bit. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the night wind. The night wind who speaks to the little lamb. Have you ever seen these types of books? They're I Spy books. Are they familiar to you? especially families with young kids. These are fantastic books to look through. I loved looking through them, both as a parent, as a kid. You get these wonderful pictures that have so many different details. This one has a picture of ornaments of Christmas, and there's some different words at the bottom. It says, I spy a clock. I spy a bumpy green pickle. I spy Santa on a sleigh and a face on a nickel. And you're supposed to find those things with your kids. You look through and try to find those pictures. In fact, I've got a picture up here on the screen where this shows up in this book as well. You've got a wonderful little church scene there. And you're supposed to find different things in the scene, like a glove. Anybody can you see a glove in there? Don't look too hard. Don't take too much time. There might be a glove, a horse, a gate. Look for a silver coin, the shadow of a skate, a shovel. There's a shovel in there somewhere, a lamb, a Christmas tree light, five jacks, and a dove in the dark, silent night. The dove, that's pretty easy to see. I see that one right off the bat. But some of those other things might be a little bit difficult to see, and you'll be focusing in on that and not listening at all to what I'm about to say, which is okay. I remember driving in a car with mom and dad on long journeys. They would use that game, that phrase, I spy with my little eye something that is blue. And then we'd all have to guess, what is blue? Is it dad's shirt? No. Is it my brother's eyes? No. And you keep asking until you finally discover what you've been longing to find out what the answer is. You discover that it's mom's bows or something like that. And so you continue to play this I spy game just to discover, interesting things, to discover things that are hidden that you might, well, you might desperately want to see. We have a beautiful display up here on the platform. It's a toy shop that's been set up. I think our people that work behind the scenes here at Emmanuel do amazing jobs. And I asked them to set up a toy shop, and I saw it last night, and I thought, that's fantastic. Ever gone to a toy shop? I remember being in Banff, where they have these great window panes looking into the stores, and they've got a Christmas shop there. And you go up to the window and you look inside, and there's so many details, so many things to look at. And again, when you're with the kids, you look into the window and you start pointing out little things. Do you see this? Have you seen that? Oh, have you noticed the little train in the corner? Have you seen the teddy bear? Do you see the Christmas star anywhere in the storefront window? We love to look for the little details at Christmas. And it's a wonderful opportunity. I spy books or toy store windows or I spy with my little eyes are wonderful opportunities to help point people to the little details of life. I think we're all longing for something. I think built into the human condition is this longing for something more, something that this life here on earth just does not quite fulfill. There's lots of fulfillment around. There's lots of things that can fulfill our lives, but there's still this hole inside us that we're longing for something more. There's something out there that our hearts are longing for, a longing, a desire to be filled, some kind of mystery to be solved, something more that we all long for. Who are we? What is our purpose? Where do we find life and meaning? C.S. Lewis said it this way. He said, most people, if they had really learned to look into their own hearts, would know that they do want, and want acutely, something that cannot be had in this world. There are all sorts of things in the world that offer to give it to you, but they never quite keep their promise. I'd like to suggest that Advent, well, for Christmas, it's a time to allow God to point to the hope that we have in Him. And it also allows us to encourage others, to point to the hope that God has for them. Opening our lives to what God has for us and working as God's agents to point to the hope that God has for others. That's what I believe Advent is a great season for. Like that phrase in the song, said the night wind to the little lamb. I love it when night winds speak. Night winds are cold, it's dark, you're outside, and the wind is starting to move. Change is on the ground. The night wind says to a little lamb, I'm not sure why it was a little lamb, but the little lamb is there in amidst the cold, and the night wind comes along and says, do you see what I see? Look way up there, little lamb. Do you see what I see? A star. I see a star. It's dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite. The night wind to the little lamb points out the little detail. Do you see it? Do you see a little lamb? Do you see what's in the sky? Do you see that star? Maybe other people haven't noticed it yet, but there's a star out there. Take a look. It's out there. Let's look at our text again, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. People walking in darkness. People walking in darkness, living in a land of darkness. Darkness is a land of confusion. It's hard to see in the dark. You're often very confused in the dark. We played a game when we were in Thailand at the end of a work day of ministry. We went to a public pool, and one of the Thai workers that was there played a game with the kids in the pool called Marco Polo. Do you know how that game works? You kind of close your eyes and you yell out, Marco, and the kids you're trying to chase are saying, Polo, and you're supposed to use your ears to try to find the kids when your eyes are closed. You go, Marco, Polo, Marco, Polo. And this poor Thai worker is going through the pool, just trusting that the kids would not be lying to him. And he just wandered around forever and ever, couldn't find the kids. They laughed. They had a great time with them because it's a little bit confusing in the dark. You can't see. It's hard to see. You don't understand always what's going on in the dark. When you put into a secluded, dark prison, you don't see anything. It's confusing. It's dark. You don't understand what's going on. Darkness is actually a great symbol for death. You see that often in Scripture. When there's death, it feels like there's nothing. When it's dark, it feels like there's nothing, I should say. When it's dark, it feels like there's nobody. When it's dark, it feels like there's no hope. It feels like there's no presence of others. It feels like there's no presence of God. You see, Isaiah is talking to a people that were under all sorts of great difficulties. The people of God were under great despair and were under great oppression, and there was great confusion on the land. Where is the presence of God? We're stuck in the darkness. We're walking in darkness. There's confusion here. We're trying to do things in our own way. If you read in Isaiah and the chapters before, you see the people of God are trying all sorts of ways to find their way in the dark, but it's not working, and they're confused, and there's a lack of understanding, and it's dark. Where is the hope? Where is the hope in our world? We too find ourselves in a world where people are walking in darkness. A sense of loss, a sense of dread, a sense of despair. I don't know about you, but I notice a great deep cynicism in our world today. Not a lot of hope for the future. I see people every day who seem demoralized. They're not quite sure about how everything's gonna end. Seems like our world is falling apart. The environment, governments, militaries. The place seems to be not a great world to be living in. I was reading a review on the latest Mary Poppins movie that's coming out. There's a sequel to Mary Poppins that is coming out over the Christmas season. And the director said, it's a movie full of joy. It's a movie where you can dance and sing along and there'll be some familiarity to it and there'll be nostalgia. And then he says this statement after that. He says, because, you know, it does seem like the place, the world we find ourselves in has a lot of despair. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of joy to be had. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of hope that's out there. In coffee shop conversations, you sense this overall discouragement when you're sitting in a Tim Hortons or in a Starbucks and people talk about the dreariness of the world that we find ourselves in. Where is the hope? Where is the hope? Advent reminds us that in the midst of the darkness, there is hope. People that are wandering in the dark, well, there's hope for them. The north wind says to the little lamb, oh, it's dark. It's dark, but do you see that star? Do you see there's a light out there? There's hope. The verse continues, the people, they've seen a great light. The people walking darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of darkness, a light has dawned. Light is, it gives the place where we find ourselves in, it gives us the opportunity to see. And we can understand what is going on. Oh, that's who else is in the room. Oh, that's who else is in the pool playing Marco Polo with me. Light brings understanding. And hope, it's a symbol of God's presence. When you see light in the scriptures, it talks about God's splendor and God's sovereignty, his majesty, what we are longing for, just more of God's presence. What are we are longing for, just more of his sovereignty. This is what we hope for. And this verse tells the people that are walking in darkness that something is up. Something is up. There's something up. There's something going on in this world that is full of darkness. There's something going on that brings us hope. There is light. God is up to something good. Light is very surprising to people that are stuck in the dark. If you've ever been in a dark for a long time and all of a sudden the lights all come up, everybody's just squinting and blinking like owls. Light surprises us. What is this doing here? This is amazing. Light is shocking and surprising and delightful when you've been in the dark for so long. In the midst of their distress, their darkness, and their gloom, and their anguish, the people of God are being given another chance in their world, where they didn't think there'd be any other chances. You probably remember the story from a few months back. All these Thai children from Thailand, it was a soccer team of boys who got stuck in a cave system. And they were stuck there for a long time. They couldn't get out because flood waters had come in and had started to fill in all the exits. And so they were in a safe place, but the oxygen was starting to disappear and they couldn't get back because there was so much water and they were stuck in the pitch black. They'd call for help or they'd make noises and they hoped that somehow they'd be rescued. But I don't know about you, if I was stuck in a place like that in a pitch black, knowing that every entrance was cut off, I'd feel like I'm one of those people wandering in the dark. I'd feel like I'd be in a place of despair. I'd be in a place of confusion. I wouldn't even be quite sure of my surroundings. I'm not sure what is next for my life. And here's one of the early pictures. Imagine sitting there with your team, just trying to encourage one another. And then you're seeing in the water in front of you just this light starting to appear. You're wondering if you're imagining it. You're putting your fists in your eyes and just trying to rub the sleep out and looking again and going, hey, boys, it looks like there's a light. There's something in the water. No, there's not. That's not possible. No, there's light. Look, take a look. And soon that little glimmer is turning into something brighter and brighter. And soon this head pops out of the water and you see that it's connected to a body, and that body is a diver, and there's a light shining in our faces, and we can barely see what's going on because the light is so bright. Light has come, and all the feelings that come with that. Imagine what these boys must have felt. There's a new possibility for them and for their life. For those walking in darkness, there's been a great light that has shone upon them. There's a new possibility for the people of God. It's unqualified. It's just going to happen. Unconditional. God is just doing what God does. God has the capacity and the resolve to do something new, something fresh from anything else that has gone on before. God is up to something new. And what is this great light? Well, the verse tells us in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 9, it says, "For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of this government, of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." What is this great light? Well, there's going to be a new king on the throne. A child has been born. This is going to reverse the fortunes of Judah. There's a renewed covenant. God, who always said that there would be a king from the line of David on the throne, he's going to make sure that there's a king from the line of David on the throne again. Where is the hope in our world? The hope we have is not found in what we can earn. It's not found in what we can own. The hope that we have in this world is not what we can find within ourselves. It's not found in our talents. It's not found in our abilities. It's not found in our popularity or our fame. It's not found in who governs us. It's not found in what laws are passed. Our hope is found in a child, a king who governs with wisdom and with authority and with consistency and with peace. A kingdom without limits. That's what the verse says. A kingdom that knows no end. A kingdom known for justice and righteousness. How good is that? In a world that seems to struggle with having justice, in a world that seems to struggle with having righteousness, there is a king, a child who is born, who brings light and life and justice and righteousness. And it's a kingdom that's being put in place because God wants it in place. It's his zeal. It's his jealousness. It's he's saying, "I want this world back. I want to bring light into the darkness." This is what has been pressed upon the people of God. Those stuck in darkness has now seen this light. There is a king. He is on the throne. He does come with a kingdom. Where is the hope? Our hope is found in being people of this kingdom, experiencing the rule and the power of God. Our hope in this world is the power of God working in the lives of people. That's our hope. That's our desire fulfilled. That is what is best for our world and what is best for our lives. And that is what those in darkness are able to see. And what is the response? When you see that toy in the window that mom has been pointing to, do you see the star? Do you see the Christmas star? You go, "Oh, I see it. I see it." Especially if you see it before your siblings, you're even more excited. "Woohoo! I beat them all. Look, I see the star first." I'm sure the little lamb got all excited when the night wind was pointing. "Do you see the star? Look its tail. It's as big as a kite. Oh, there it is." I can imagine the lamb doing a little jig. When we have the book out for "I Spy with My Little Eye," do you see the star? Do you see the glove? Do you see the jacks? And the first child that sees it goes, "I see it. I see it." And they see it with confidence, and they're not going to tell anybody. No, the other people have to look for it first, but you see the grin come out. You see this joy comes over their face because their hope of finding something has been realized. Their desire has been resolved. There is hope. There is light. And so there's only one way to respond to this light when you've been in darkness for so long. It's through celebration. You need to celebrate. There's this wonderful language and imagery that's used in verses 3 to verse 5. There's the image of the harvest. The harvest is in. It's made itself in. We now have all the food in the storage, and we're able to rest. We're able to find shalom. We're able to have the resources we need to make it through this life. The other language, the other metaphor of celebration is a bit of a booty call, so to speak, when it comes to a military operation. The military battle has taken place, and we have won. And now we get to take the spoils, and we now to get used the different things that we've earned from the battle, and separate it amongst us, and have a big celebration because a battle has been won. And a harvest has been brought in. And a shalom is with us. A king has been born. A child is with us. And life will never be the same. Advent reminds us that God is the God of hope. And the challenge for us this morning is to continue to be people like a north wind that points to stars. Points to the hope that we can see. He said the night wind to the little lamb. Do you see it? Do you see it? No, it's over there. Take a look. It's over there. Look. Point to the hope. Point to the hope that we have. When we were in Thailand, it was such a wonderful experience. If you get a chance to go, Thailand is one of our missions partners. The youth are going again. It's spring break. We're going to try to get to go again either in 2019 or early 2020. What a great opportunity just to see what Zach and Megan and Wiley are doing on the ground with Imagine Thailand. We had a team of about 13 of us, and it was such a neat team because we had grandparents, and we had parents, we had teenagers, we had children, and we all worked together doing different ministry for the kids, doing different lessons, praying with the kids, singing songs, doing all sorts of fun stuff. And there was one day, one of our parents, Kyla Wright, gave her story at a kids' church. A kids' church where Thai kids came from the community, and they came and they gathered at a learning center down in the south of Thailand, and they just sat in for lessons about Jesus. And Kyla Wright got to tell her story, and she told a story about how she was concerned about where God was leading her when it came to which school she should go to. And so she wrote a letter to God and said, God, I trust you. I trust you with my life, and I pray, Lord, that you bring light to my situation. Not quite sure how the words exactly went, but it was that kind of idea. And she told this story to the kids. Then we left the kids' church time. We had prayed with the kids. We spent time with them. We ate with them. And then we heard later the next day, we got a neat note. There was a 13-year-old girl that was there. She came from a very difficult home situation. It was a broken home. There was alcoholism in the home. Parents were not getting along, and she felt a deep amount of despair. But she said when that woman gave her story, saying that she wrote a letter saying that she trusts God, she felt this hope come in her. And she went to, the teacher was there. She was just crying and saying, I know now I can trust God with my future. No matter what happens in my family, no matter who my parents are, I can still trust God for my future. And the worker got a chance to pray with her and continue to help her with her faith. And all Kyla did was say, hey, I'm pointing to a star. I'm pointing to a bit of hope. I'm pointing to the acknowledgement that there's a God who brings hope to the world and fulfills our deepest longings. We're all still pointing towards the stars. We're still pointing towards that star. And I encourage you in two different ways today. In a practical way, I would suggest if you're feeling hopeless today, I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you the hope that He has for you. If you've come to church this morning, you're going, I hear this word on hope, but I have this longing and I'm still looking. Ask the Holy Spirit to point out the hope that's in your life. Anne Frank, famous young woman that wrote this journal while she was in a concentration camp. Through all that she had gone through, she wrote, "I don't think of all the misery, but I think of the beauty that still remains. There's beauty in the midst of darkness." Martin Luther King once said, "Only in the darkness can you see the stars. Only in the deepest parts of despair does light become most obvious." And Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Put your hope in the Lord who brings hope. Put your hope in the child that brings light in the midst of darkness. And number two, I encourage all of us to seek to point out hope in the lives of others. When you look into the eyes of others, I don't know about you, but when I'm out on the street, when I'm out in the mall, when I'm out chatting with people, you don't see a lot of hope in people's eyes. But we've got this hope. We know who the Christ child is. And we have been able to be participants in his kingdom to show that there is a God who is at work in this life. Don't let opportunities pass you by this season where you could point out hope in a person's life. People need to hear a message of hope. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 to 18 says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joys and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Point to the evidence of a God who is working in your life. Point to the evidence of a God who brings lightness even in the midst of dark. Point to a God who continues to allow peace to reign even in difficult times. Point to the heavens and says, God is still up to something special in your life. Let us be people of hope. Let us be night winds calling out to little lambs, saying, "Do you see it? There's a star up there. There's still light in the darkness. There's hope to be had." Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we recognize again at the beginning of Advent, the waiting period, as we long for the coming of the Christ child. Lord, we continue to long for your presence in our midst. We continue to long for that light to bring us life. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to call us. You continue to fill us with your Spirit, and you continue to give us hope. And I pray, Lord, that as hope bearers, we will be able to help point hope out to people that feel like they have no hope. Lord, in the hustle and bustle of the season, where so many things occupy our schedule and our life and our thoughts, may we be holders of the hope, what is true, what is good, what is right. A king has been born, and the world has changed, and there is a light in the darkness. God, strengthen us. Let us be your hope as you are our hope in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.